Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. There in Badrik Ashram, the personality of Godhead, in His incarnation as the sages Nar and Narayan, has been undergoing great penance since time immemorial for the welfare of all amiable living entities. Purport. Badrikashram in the Himalayas, the abode of Narayan sages, is a great place of pilgrimage for the Hindus. Even up to the present, hundreds and thousands of pious Hindus go to pay respects to the incarnation of Godhead Narayan. It appears that even 5,000 years ago, this holy place was being visited by such a holy being as Uddhava. And even at that time, the place was known to be very, very old. This particular pilgrimage site is very difficult to visit for ordinary men because of its difficult situation in the Himalayas, in a place which is covered by ice almost all year. A few months during the summer season, people can visit this place at great personal inconvenience. There are four dhams, or kingdoms of God, which represent the planets of the spiritual sky, which consists of the Brahma Jyoti and the Vaikunthas. These are Badrik Ashram, Rameshwar, Jagannath Puri, and Dwarka. Faithful Hindus still visit all these holy places for perfection of spiritual realization, following in the footsteps of devotees like Uddhava. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnabhyo Namo Namaha Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So after leaving Hastinapur, Vidura travels through various provinces to the different places, the holy places. And then he's returning back to Hastinapur. But just before he returns back to Hastinapur, he has meeting with Uddhava. He meets up with Uddhava. And this is at the banks of Yamuna. Now some devotees say they met actually in Vrindavan, in a confidential place. So in this meeting, Uddhava is remembering and recalling the pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan and also in Dwarka. And Uddhava is also relating to Vidura that how he followed the Lord to Prabhas. And there in Prabhas, Lord gave him instructions or gave him transcendental knowledge, paramsthiti. And at that time also, Maitreya was there as well. And then Vidura hears from Uddhava the exchange between the Lord and Uddhava, how Lord how Lord is circumambulated by Uddhava, and then Uddhava makes his way to Badrik Ashram. So as he's making his way to Badrik Ashram, he meets Vidura, who is returning. He's on a pilgrimage and he's returning and he's going back to Hastinapur. We can read text 1, 21, excuse me, and we can hear from Uddhava as he's relating to Buddha Vidura. And this is after his meeting with Krishna. So Uddhava is saying, "My dear Vidura, now I am mad for want of the pleasure of seeing him," referring to the Supreme Lord, Lord Krishna. "And just to mitigate this, I am now proceeding to Badrik Ashram in the Himalayas for association, as I have been instructed by him." So to mitigate the separation from the Lord, to mitigate his anxiety for the Lord, here Uddhava is saying to Vidura, "I am now proceeding towards Badrik Ashram in the Himalayas for association." Here, in this particular text, is not quite pointed out for association of who? The devotees or the Lord? We'll hear this in the next verse, 22, specifically who is Uddhava referring to. However, it can mean both, because earlier on, Lord Krishna did instruct Uddhava to go to Badrik Ashram, and he said, tell the devotees that are there who are suffering the pains of my separation about myself. Right, so in this way they may be relieved somewhat of their suffering due to separation. So it could refer to the devotees, but it's not quite clearly pointed out in this verse. So also another thing we get from this particular translation is that if we want to mitigate our anxieties, our separation from the Lord, mitigate some challenges, some difficulties we're going through our lives, then taking association of the devotees of the Lord. And also here Uddhava is saying, as I have been instructed by him. So if you follow the instructions of the Lord, of the devotees, then we may be relieved of our anxiety. So this is the solution to be relieved of any challenges, any anxieties. We follow the instruction of the Supreme Lord and we put ourselves in the association of the devotees. So what's there? Who is there in Badrik Ashram? So text 22 says, "Yatra Narayano Devo Narascha Bhagavan Rishi." So the rishis Narayan are there in Badrik Ashram. And Lord Narayan, there is the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Nara is said to be Arjuna. So both of these personalities, they are twins, and they are the sons of Dharma and Murti. Dharma is the direct son of Lord Brahma, and Murti is the daughter of Daksha and Prasuti. So, twins were born as the incarnations of the Lord and Arjuna to Dharma and Murti. So, in Badrik Ashram, they engaged in austerities, in penance. And they've been engaging in this penance since time immemorial for the welfare of all amiable living entities. So the Sanskrit term used is mridu tivram tapo dirgam tepate loka bhavano. So mridu can mean friend. Mridu can mean a non-envious person. Mridu can also mean pleasant, merciful. So it's interesting here, Srila Prabhupada is saying that for the welfare of all amiable living entities, the non-envious living entities, pleasant, amiable living entities. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it slightly differently. He says that the Lord was merciful and friendly. Being merciful and friendly to the living entities, therefore, he engages in austerities for their welfare. Right? Loka Bhavano. And the Lord, as Narayan is been engaging in these austerities for a long, long time, from the very beginning of creation. If we go to the purport, Badrik Ashram is in the Himalayas, and this is the abode of Narayan sages. It's a great place of pilgrimage for the Hindus. The term Badrik Ashram, this region is known as the place of the Badris. Badris is referring to the type of trees that grow there in abundance. Sometimes these trees are referred to as berry trees. Right? So in this place where there are abundant Badri trees, the Lord had his ashram there, has his ashram there, and is engaging in austerities. Prabhupada continues, even up to the present, hundreds and thousands of pious Hindus go to pay respects to the incarnation of Godhead Narayan. Also, another name for Badrik Ashram is Vishal, because hundreds and thousands, a lot of Hindus go to pilgrimage to this particular place. So Vishal means great, right? The Lord who is great, and the place which is so great that great numbers come and visit this place, take advantage of this place. It appears that even, Prabhupada is continuing, it appears that even 5,000 years ago, the holy place was being visited by such a holy being as Uddhava. And even at that time, the place was known to be very, very old. So possibly they're from Satya Yuga. Or even at the beginning of creation. This particular pilgrimage site is very difficult to visit for ordinary men because of difficult situation in the Himalayas, in a place which is covered by ice almost all year. A few months during the summer season, people can visit this place at a great personal inconvenience. There are four dhams, or kingdoms of God, which represent the planets of the spiritual sky, which consists of the Brahma Jyoti and the Vaikunthas. So there is the Brahma Jyoti, and within the Brahma Jyoti, in the spiritual sky, there are the Vaikuntha planets. And Srila Prabhupada is saying that these four dhams, right, these four dhams, Badrikashram, Rameshwar, Jagannathpuri and Dwarka, represent the spiritual sky, the planets in the spiritual sky. So what is the material world? So material world is the reflection of the spiritual world. It's sometimes described as a cloud in the spiritual sky. In the corner of the Brahma Jyoti, somewhere, there is this dark cloud. And that within that dark cloud, right, there's this different universes which are referred to as the material universes, or the material world. This area is known as the material world. Also, there are a couple of other names also given to Badrik Ashram as well. Yuga Siddhi. So one can actually have the darshan of Lord Narayan if they engage in severe penances, they engage in proper austerities. So it is still possible to have darshan of Lord Narayan. At this moment, if you go, and if you're not so much into austerities and penances, you're still able to have darshan of Narayan Shila there. Yeah. Also, another name that's given to Badrik Ashram is Muktipad, a place where one can attain liberation. There is a conversation between Vasishtha and Arundhati, and Vasishtha is explaining to Arundhati that if one visits Badrik Ashram and worships Lord Narayan there, then one will become free from all sinful reactions. So in this way, it's also a place of liberation, and therefore it is referred to also as Muktipad. Prabhupada says, faithful Hindus still visit all these holy places for perfection of spiritual realization, following in the footsteps of devotees like Uddhava. So who are the Hindus? The Hindus, Prabhupada is saying, following in the footsteps of devotees like Uddhava, they still visit this place in order to attain perfection in spiritual realization. Srila Prabhupada writes in one letter, the Hindus are those group of people who are referred to by the foreigners to live on the other side of the river Indus. And they followed the Vedic culture of Varnashram. And what is Vedic culture based on? The Vedas, the Vedic scriptures. And then Prabhupada said, this is our connection with the Hindus. They follow Vedas, we also follow Vedas. And Varnashram, Srila Prabhupada said, this is our connection. So here Srila Prabhupada saying that faithful Hindus visit these holy places, following in the footsteps of devotees like Uddhava. Today is also the appearance of Shivas Thakur or Shivas Pandit. Both of these titles are given to Shivas, Pandit and Thakur. Thakur literally means God or godly. You can also say it's another term for Prabhu. Yeah. Usually, those people who held high positions were given the term Thakur, or those who owned land, those who were governors, were given the title Thakur. And Shivas is also referred to as Shivas Pandit because he was a great Brahmana. He was very learned. He was coming in the line of respected Brahmanas. His father was Jalandhar. His name was Jalandhar, and he is said to be very respected, respected Vedic Brahmana. Shivas Thakur is one of the members of the Panchatattva, the supreme truth in five features. He represents the Tathastha Shakti, the Jiva Shakti, and he's said to be an incarnation of Lord Narada or Narada Muni. Shivas Thakur was born in a place known as Srihatta. So currently this place is known as Sylhet, which is in Bangladesh, northwestern Bangladesh. Later on, Shivas and his brothers moved to the banks of the Ganges, or in Navadvip, very close to the place of Jagannath Mishra, Advaitacharya. And then after Nimai taking sannyas, it is said that Shivas and his family went to Kumarhatta. Kumarhatta is a place where Ishwarapuri had appeared, right? And later on, after sannyas, after visiting Advaitacharya, going to the Ganges, Lord Chaitanya visits Kumarhatta and he takes the dust of the place where his spiritual master Ishwarapuri was born. And it is said that Lord Chaitanya would take a little bit of this dust every day. So a very holy place where Shivas moved on to in later on in his life. Shivas had four brothers. The oldest brother was Sri Nalina. And Sri Nalina had a daughter, Narayani. Narayani is the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur is the personality who compiled Chaitanya Bhagavat. Shivas's other brother's name is Sri Ram. Sri Ram is said to be non-different from Parvatamuni. Parvatamuni and Narad Muni are usually talked about together. They're said to be friends. They usually go to different places, visit different people. We hear of Parvatamuni and Narad Muni attending to Murugari to see how he's doing after Narad Muni had given him instructions that just chant the holy name, engage in devotional service, and everything will be okay. You'll be taken care of. Because Murugari's worry was, who will take care of my family if I don't hunt and kill these animals? Right? So at that time, Parvatamuni had accompanied Narad Muni. And Parvatamuni is very surprised that Murugari the hunter was completely a different person. Right? Just as they were coming, Murugari was very careful not to step on the ants. And Parvatamuni says to Narad Muni, yeah, it is not at all surprising that because of your association and because of your instruction, that Murugari has become such a person, such a loving devotee, very compassionate personality. So, it is said that Sri Ram is non-different from Parvatamuni. Then also there was another brother, his name was Sripati. And then also there is Sri Nidhi as well. And sometimes Sri Nidhi is also referred to as Sri Kanta. So in this way, Shivas Thakur had four brothers. And these brothers would always engage in doing kirtan. There will be Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Shishi Gaur Nitai Ki. So the brothers would engage in kirtan, they would regularly bathe in the Ganges, they would worship, they would be engaged in worshipping of the deities, and they would be engaged in devotional service. They would also attend meetings with Advaitacharya together with other devotees, and they would discuss Bhagavatam and also have kirtans with Advaitacharya Prabhu. And it is said that just as Advaitacharya was a key player in invoking the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shivas Thakur was also very, very much a key player. In one place, it is said Shivas Thakur is approximately 30 years older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just as Advaitacharya was also very old when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So Shivas Thakur was there the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it is said that together with Advaita Acharya and Sita Devi, Malini, wife of Shiva, has also attended to Nimai at his birth. Malini is said to be an incarnation of Ambika, Manjri known as Ambika. She was very motherly towards Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, both. Later on, as Nimai grew up and he became a great scholar, and he would have arguments and defeat various scholars in logic. Right? At that time, it is said that Shiva's Pandit approached Nimai and he said, the purpose of logic, the purpose of all studies and the scriptures and gyan is to ultimately engage in Krishna's service. And you shouldn't be wasting your time in just dry knowledge. And you shouldn't be wasting your time in arguments. The purpose is to engage in Krishna's service. This should be the purpose of knowledge. This should be the purpose of studies. And Nimai responded saying, with your blessings, one day I'll be able to do that. And then he said very shortly afterwards, Nimai went to Gaya after the disappearance of his father. And there he met Ishwarapuri, and he received initiation from Ishwarapuri, and he returned back to Naudweep. And when Shivas was engaged in worshipping his deities, at that time, there was a knock at his door. And Nimai was there, and Nimai was shouting, Shivas, the very Lord that you're praying to is at your door, open the door. So very loudly Nimai was knocking at the door. And Shivas let him in. And then Nimai runs to the altar and he sits on the altar. And he says to Nimai, he says to Shivas, I am the very, very Lord that you've been worshipping all this time. Right? And now, as you had said, I'm now, given up logic and arguments and knowledge. And invite your family, invite your friends, and in this way, let them have darshan of me. So Shivas invited all his friends and relatives and his family, and it is said that Lord Chaitanya, according to the different family members desired, he exhibited different forms of the Lord. Lord Narasimhadev, Lord Ram, so on and so forth, like that. And specifically, he called Narayani, who was only 4 years old at that time. Nimai called Narayani, and he said, chant the names of Krishna. And Narayani, with ecstatic symptoms, with tears rolling down her eyes, started chanting the names of Krishna. And then also, Nimai pointed to this this servant of Shivas, who was engaged in bringing water to worship, to worship the deities, and also she had just brought in water to also worship Nimai as well. So Nimai said, "Who is she?" And Shiva said, "This is Dukhi." And Nimai said, she's no longer Dukhi. She's Sukhi. She can be referred to as Sukhi, like this. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this way, was very merciful to Shivas Thakur and all his friends and relatives. And therefore we have this verse, Namo Mahavadanyaya, कृष्ण प्रेम पदायते कृष्ण ये कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने घोर त्विषे नमः नमो महावदन्याय राइट ऑल ओबेसेंसेस ऑल ग्लोरीज टू महावदन्याय द मोस्ट मर्सीफुल मैग्नानिमस चैतन्य महाप्रभु नमो महावदन्याय नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते वन हू कैन गिव लव ऑफ गॉड कृष्ण 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 चैतन्य नामिने गोरे त्वसे नमः हु इज नॉन डिफरेंट फ्रॉम लॉर्ड चैतन्य हु इज रिफर्ड टू एज गौरंगा राइट एंड इट इज सेड एट दिस पॉइंट वेयर लॉर्ड गेव दर्शन टू वेरियस पर्सनैलिटीज पर्सनैलिटीज इन शिवासीज होम At this point, it is said that this was the inauguration of the Yuga Dharma. And there onwards, then the holy name was chanted regularly in the house of Srivas Thakur. Right, together with Advaita Acharya joining in, Lord Nityananda joining in, like that. And then there are various pastimes that went on during these special kirtans, where only confidential associates of the Lord were allowed in. Were allowed to participate. So we will be having an evening program and we'll be hearing more pastimes of Shivas and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the program starts at 4:30 with bhajans and kirtans in the evening. 5:30 there'll be class by Taruna Krishna Prabhu. And then there'll be a drama at 6:30. By Bhaktivedanta players, headed up by J. Krishna Prabhu. And then there will be Gaurati at 7 o'clock. And the title of the drama is Shivas's Kirtan. Right? We look forward to the bhajans, the pastimes, and the drama of Shivas's Kirtans. Any questions? Comments? Yes, Jai Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So thank you, Prabhuji, for a nice class. I was just wondering if you could give some clarification about the Brahma Jyoti. At least my understanding is that the Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then from the way we kind of understand from the material, the effulgence emanates from the body. So if the Lord is having his pastimes, maybe in Vaikuntha, how does the effulgence kind of come about? Or is the effulgence already existing there? And then if the Vaikuntha planets are situated in the Brahma Jyoti, and then the Brahma Jyoti is filled with the persons who obtain liberation in Brahma Jyoti, so those souls are all inside the Brahma Jyoti with the Vaikuntha planets? If you could clarify a little bit, Prabhu.
Yeah, what is the Brahma Jyoti? And how does it work? How does it manifest? So Brahma Jyoti, from whatever little understanding I have, is the effulgence, is always referred to as the effulgence that's coming from the Supreme Lord. The energy that's coming from the Supreme Lord. The light. Just as from the sun there is heat and light coming. So there is this energy which is coming from the Lord. And this energy is also very much referred to as light. Like we have the mantra in the Shisha Upanishad. Please remove your effulgence, right? So then the devotee can have a darshan of you, dear Lord. Right? Please remove your effulgence. Please remove this light. So then devotee can have full darshan of you. So it's always referred to as an effulgence, energy, light coming from the Lord. And this light is ever expanding. It's going outwards in all directions. And within this Brahma Jyoti, this energy, this light, this effulgence that's coming from the Lord, there is the Vaikuntha planets existing. Yeah, and it is said that those who who are not interested in the Vaikuntha planets, service unto the Lord and so on, the exchanges, then they are situated, they come to be situated in Brahma Jyoti, in that light, in that energy, right? Which is beyond the material world, which is outside the material world, like this. Because these personalities who are seeking to be one with the Lord, right, and they don't want to have any relationship, they don't want to have any variegatedness, any exchanges, so they're put in that situation where they, you know, where there is no such things, right? However, it's beyond matter, and so the perfect place is within that energy, within that effulgence. Now your question of the Lord is having his pastimes, so yeah, what's happening with the Brahma Jyoti? Is it kind of like going along with him, you know, like that, as he's having his exchanges? I haven't come across any descriptions of what happens, you know, to the Brahma Jyoti as the Lord is engaged in these various pastimes. I don't know if other devotees have any thoughts on that. Srinivasu?
Prabhupada gives the example. He says, being in Brahma Jyoti is like this. If you're in a room by yourself in a chair, mm-hmm. you can have some peace and stress and anxiety. But by yourself, how long can you sit in a chair in the room by yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we are Ananda Maya. We have to have that relationship with Krishna.
Yeah. So attaining Brahma Jyoti is not the highest.
You come down again.
Thank you so much. So I've heard it that the performance of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan at Sri Vasangan, that's equivalent to Rasa Leela.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But Srivas Thakur is Narad Muni and he used to participate in that Sankirtan. But if you see, Narad Muni is a devotee of Vaikuntha. He is not there in Goloka Vrindavan. So how do you understand this, that he is able to participate in a leela which is equivalent to Rasa Leela?
There is a pastime where Narad Muni wants to enter the Rasa Leela of Lord Krishna. And if I'm not wrong, he actually transformed into Gopi, Narada Gopi, Naradi. And he engaged in the Rasa Leela pastime with Lord Krishna. So it is possible. It is possible for Narada to have these exchanges with the Lord, intimate exchanges with the Lord.
Thank you.
Yeah. Panchatattva Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. I'm just wondering why, like the picture behind you, Srivas is depicted as he's got a shaved head and saffron cloth. But is he a householder?
Yeah.
Okay, and he remains householder?
Yeah, I haven't come across him ever being we haven't taken sannyas or anything like that, or even being a brahmachari. He's always referred to being in household life. So yeah, I suppose we have grahasthas who have right, shaved head, and some grahasthas sometimes wear dhotis, different colored dhotis. So maybe there was a time where Srivas put on this close to saffron kind of dhoti. Or maybe Narad Muni is always in saffron, so to kind of indicate that, okay, Srivas is non-different from Narad Muni, so he's kind of depicted in this way. It is also said, according to Bhakti Ratnakar, that he had an effulgence, a golden effulgence, just like Narad Muni, just like Lord Chaitanya. Shivas had this effulgence. Yeah, interestingly enough. Yeah. David Prabhu?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. When I was in Mayapur, I got this advice, and they basically said that the Panchatattva is in your heart. To remember that the Panchatattva is in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, if I'm honest, I was a bit skeptical about this, because in terms of Shivas being a Jiva Tattva, I was wondering, is it still true as well?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never heard the Panchatattva being in one's heart. Of course, the devotee can be thinking of and remembering the Panchatattva, right, and the various exchanges amongst themselves. So in that way, the devotee is thinking and, you know, thinking of the lordships within his or her heart. Yeah. When we say Shivas is a jiva tattva, he's not an ordinary jiva like us, right? He's an intimate associate of the Lord, empowered by the Lord. Yeah. So he's not just a regular living entity. It's an extraordinary living entity. Yeah. Karan Prabhu.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. You're mentioning how Srivas Thakur discouraged Nimai from scholarly study, logic, reasoning. Mm-hmm. But of course, he's the Supreme Lord, so why did he engage in that kind of scholarly study and logic and reasoning in the first place? Wondering if you can share some thoughts.
Of course, he's coming from a Brahmin family, and therefore Brahmanas are meant to study the Vedas. And those who are expertly studied the Vedas, then they go on to studying logic and argument and so on and so forth, which are also, there are scriptures on logic and so on in the plethora of the Vedas. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya, coming from a Brahmin family, this was a duty of a Brahmana, right? He was also a teacher. He had students, right? And ultimately, you can also take it as a pastime, where he's kind of chastised by Srivas Thakur. What are you doing? You're wasting your time. And then, you know, Lord kind of takes seriously, you know, the desire of the devotee, and you know, the Lord may change his ways, and therefore we find that Nimai then gives up all of these things to establish that actually devotional service and the purpose of studying the scriptures and so on is actually Krishna, to kind of maybe make that point stronger. So then, yeah, he kind of studies and then kind of gives it up at the request of his devotees, and then engages in devotional service, and then ultimately then we hear of the various ecstasies that were there, that were exhibited because of engaging in devotional service, because of thinking of the Lord, right? Thinking of the devotees of the Lord and the various pastimes between the devotees and the Lord. Yeah. So yeah, the goal is not the scriptures. The scriptures, the studies, the Vedas are the means to come to devotional service and to come to Krishna. So he wanted to establish that very strongly and make that clear. Okay. Prayojan Prabhu, and then we'll stop.
Narada Muni, he carries an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
if you can speak into the mic, please.
Sorry. Narada Muni, he plays an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And music is part of his life.
Yeah.
And likewise, Krishna consciousness. For me, it, because of its nature of the music, the joy felt, say, like in kirtan or whatever, it's just shows another facet of the Lord's, you know, whether it be jiva tattva or what. I don't think is really worth considering, but there's this his joyful nature. He's always singing and playing an instrument, and so I think that's there as well. He represents the jiva in the Panchatattva, because that's what Lord Chaitanya's given us. It's like he's interim, and he's there, and he's assisting the Lord in all his pastimes too. He's a bit of a stirrer, you could say, and acts as a catalyst for the bringing of Krishna into the world. So he's a go-between, you could say, for Krishna and the jiva tattva in this material world, to bring about the Lord's will.
Yes.
I don't know if you want to comment on that, but that's what I see. He's got that joyful side to him, you know, and the music that he's playing. Though
fun
you
loving,
could say
fun
that
loving,
that comes from
personality, right into music, into singing, just as Nag Muni, engaging in also dancing as well.
Yeah.
Like that. So also, this also indicates the fun and happiness that's there in Krishna consciousness is not dry.
It's not dry, not dry. No. He's a stirrer as well, isn't he?
Yeah. There are also a couple of incidences where he kind of does interesting things. One is when there is some abominable things put outside his home to kind of frame him.
Yes.
Yeah. And he doesn't kind of like defend himself.
No,
Like he says, yes, I was engaged in abominable activities and worship of demigods and Kali and so on and so forth. So, I don't know, maybe to stir things up or whatever, he kind of like, Okay. So yeah, there are also other incidents with a couple of times where, seems, okay, well, what's Shiva saying here, you know, like that? What is he up to here? Oh, another one is where his son is kind of like passed away during the kirtans, died. And he tells the family members, why are you crying? Stop crying. You're disturbing the kirtan. All right? And then apparently the kirtan went on. Some devotees say for a couple of hours, some other devotees say for 9 hours. Right? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking Shivas, is there something that's happened? The same ecstasy, you know, I didn't experience. Or at least I was, you know, it seems like there is some inauspiciousness or something lamentable has taken place. So Shivas said, no, kirtan was there, everything is fine. Everything was great. Yeah. And then the devotees around him said, Mahaprabhu, Shivas' son died a few hours ago. You know, like this. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking Shivas, why didn't you tell me? I didn't want to disturb the kirtan. That's why I didn't want to tell you. You know, like that. So, Nad Muni Shivas has this kind of like, eccentricities about them. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Shivas Thakur ki, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki.